Timo scored with less than 60 seconds left. You saw like the three hairs on Getzlaff's head that he still had left just disappear, man. They were gone.
He packed up and left.
Welcome to show 41 of the Pucknologist here on Fieldtown USA. As always, do us a favor, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us and follow along. Play the home game, if you will, by following on Twitter at Pucknologist. I'm your host, AJ Strong, and with me as always, the one and only Rocket Backhander.
Hi, kids. I'm the Collector's Addiction. What's up?
Ooh, Collector's Addiction? Collector's Addiction. We can debate that later during Around the Horn. On the other side, we have Puck Guy filling in for the jerk.
I'm the kindler, gentler jerk with a 5-day forecast ready for you tonight. Puck Guy here.
Oh my God.
That's right. Filling in tonight is Hockey Punk. So to list off the record as it stands right now, the Sharks are 30-18-8, good for 68 points. They're remaining second in the division as Calgary jumps back into the third slot with 66. LA is now holding down the four spot with 65 points. Anaheim drops to fifth, also with 65 points, but has two more games played and yet three more losses than LA. 3 points now, ladies and gentlemen, separate second and fifth position in the Pacific Division. Since we last left you, the Sharks played themselves three games. They picked up a 5-3 loss to the Las Vegas Golden Knights. I don't care if they only want Vegas. I'm calling them loss. Sharks versus Oilers after that, where the team Teal picked up a 6-4 victory. And then a quick jaunt down to SoCal, where the Sharks picked up a 3-2 victory over the Duckies in the shootout. So, of course, we start with the last one first. Sharks versus the Golden Knights. In what was probably the worst officiated game I have ever seen in my lifetime, and I was there live to witness it. The Sharks dominated the first period, holding Vegas without a shot for over half a period. And then, oh my Lord, Rocket, where did the wheels fall off?
The wheels fell off because Las Vegas is, aren't they, they're 10 points away from everybody else, something like that, aren't they? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. They are tied for, are they tied for second or did they take over first in the league?
I know it's pretty dang impressive. The last I looked, they were number one, but then again, of course, I am sorry. Tampa has been a struggle
between those two.
Tampa and Boston out of nowhere. Well, Boston out of nowhere.
Boston.
But anyway.
They have come out with, you know, guns a-blazing this season, and I really have not even included them in. I'm just going to be honest. Is like I didn't include them in part of the competition because I just felt they were above the Sharks' playing level. Ugh, I feel bad for saying that, but it's true. You don't get to be that hot and that good with five different goalies.
In the first half of the season,
you know, yes, but and it'd be a fluke. So those guys are good, and they remained good. The officiating was disappointing, but I'm going to counter that by saying, you know, if the San Jose Sharks had cashed in on the opportunities, rare as though they were given, if they had cashed in on them, they wouldn't have needed the officiating to fall on their side in those situations.
They were able to cash in on half their power play, so I guess silver lining, if you will, Puck Guy.
Yeah, Rocket hit head on the officiating, but yeah, you're right. You got to cash in on your opportunities when you can, which is good that they did well on the power play. Joe Pavelski seems to be reignited. He had two goals in this game, so that was good to have. And they stayed with the Golden Knights, and that's one thing you got to look at this sense, because throw the name expansion out the window with these guys, and if you were an existing team, be like, okay, these guys are good, but they're staying with them. So if these two were to meet up in a playoff series, I think the Sharks can stay with them and hang on, and considering with all the injuries going on and with Wardo and Jumbo, with other guys coming in to play like Timo, helping out on the scoring wise. You take a bright side in that you did fairly well against this team, but that's not good enough to get you points though.
You know, I get frustrated with this team a lot. I get frustrated with the whole Vegas thing because as much as they're plowing through everybody in points for the regular season, this particular lineup has not faced postseason hockey. You know, like they haven't faced playoff hockey and they don't know how that's the pace is and they don't know how it's officiated. I mean, I'm sure they do, but I don't know how much firsthand experience Vegas Knights locker room has in like a serious playoff series. So it bothers me because like they're plowing through the regular series and taking all the points, but then I think they're just going to be a puff, like a one and done. I think they're going to get taken in the playoffs. The more the season goes by, the more I start thinking about that. And just how much of a difference there is between how the playoffs are officiated and how regular season is officiated. I mean, you want to talk about officiating.
We shall see, kids. It's going to be interesting, but I do like Eric's point about, throwing out the whole expansion tag, if you will. Someone's going to have to point me to a webpage that shows the last quote unquote expansion team that their starting goalie literally had rings from the last two Stanley Cups. I'm just saying. Not to say that he's played in them, but either way, he was on the team. He owns the hardware. So we move on to Sharks versus Oilers. In this one, this was actually kind of a fun game for a hot minute. The Sharks went up 3-0, and you know, the Sharks lately have had this kind of weird thing going on where they're like, you know what, we may not own the game, but we will own the first period. We are going to play 60 minutes of hockey in the first 20. That's what we're going to do. So the Sharks go up 3-0.
Yeah.
Somehow allow the Oilers to take a 4-3 lead, give up four straight goals, but come back and win it 6-4. Hero of the night, Joakim Rantanen, gets his first NHL goal to start off the scoring in this one, and his second NHL goal would come later and end up being the game winner. Rocket, that was a hell of a game.
Yeah, that was a game on the dad trip, and apparently Joakim Rantanen's pap didn't feel too good, so he didn't go to the game and failed to see his son's first and second NHL goals. And I think after the game, Joakim Rantanen said something like, maybe he should skip coming to the game more often. Oh, superstitious hockey players are the cutest. Oh. This game, man, Sharks just came out and dominated. AD is 100% correct in saying that they played 60 minutes of hockey in the first 20 minutes. He is not kidding about that. I think I had tweeted at some point during this particular phase of the game that Todd McLellan was going to be looking for a job if the Oilers kept playing like this. They didn't look good at all.
Good during the second period.
Right, and then four unanswered goals. Pew, 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 pew. And, you know, with any other Sharks roster, I think that would have been enough to deflate all four lines, the backup goalie, the trainer, you know, like it just would have been deflating for everybody. But for some reason, this particular group of tenacious young men in teal seems to thrive on adversity. And they came back with a vengeance, with gangbusters. I don't know if like they busted out the special fruit snacks with the nitro in it or something, but anyway, whatever it is, they keep on doing whatever it is you're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, the Sharks own the circle in this 60-40%. The power play was nothing to scream home about, 0-for-1, but the PK chugging right along, going 3-for-3 against the Oil. Shots on goal were like, 30-31. I mean, it's a very close game, and that's actually a thing that sticks with me, Puck Guy, is the fact that Edmonton is so low in the standings, and this is after the Sharks just came off what I thought was a decent performance against the top team in the West, and then they're playing one of the worst teams in the West. And a lot of it is just kind of, you know, it was kind of just half and half.
Yeah, it's similar in the sense that you throw out you throw out a label of these guys suck, because with Connor McDavid, they shouldn't suck, but they do. And and they just have had some rough goes. And again, this is another game where the Sharks kind of dominated a little bit early on the shots and made Edmonton feel bad. And then, you know, I think there was that confidence boost that the Sharks had. Oh, we got 3-0. We're fine. We can do this. And then all of a sudden, Chris Tierney, you know, overpasses it. It gets broken up. Cassian's walking in, you know, on Delicious and then having a field day again against the Sharks. But nonetheless, and this is what I like about this team now, is that it's, and we mentioned it on After Dark before, is that this team is more resilient in the past. Because like you said, HA, this team would have been down, dead and out after giving up that tying goal and then making it 4-3 Edmonton. So you give some credit to this team is not backing down against their opponents when they are facing adversity. You got to love that.
Absolutely. I would have liked to have seen it against a slightly better team. To me, this one should have been one of those ones where they got that 3-0 lead and then just locked it down, which we had seen from Arundel in the past. But either way, they get the victory. But yeah, poor Joakim Ryan's pop. Maybe going forward, Joakim Ryan's dad should just give Hayden Bradley his ticket. I support this idea. The Sharks then would take a quick trip down to SoCal the next day after taking that victory from Edmonton and pick up a shootout victory after giving up the first two goals. The Sharks would come back. Couture would figure largely in this one. Couture scores the first goal. Meyer gets the second to tie it up within the final minute there, sends it into overtime. Then the Sharks pick up the victory in the shootout with one of the sickest Pavelski deeks I've ever seen, followed up by an absolute Couture slingshot who ends up putting the lights out in this one while Jones allows nothing during the skills competition portion of this game. Hockey Punk. I mean, Eric.
What's it to you?
Yeah, I know. What'd you think about the game in Anaheim? Because, you know, aside from the last game that the Sharks played where it was like that, what was it, like a 6-2 drubbing?
Yes.
So, yeah, it seems like the last 700 games that have been played between these two teams have always, it's always been a one goal difference. So this, of course, would happen again.
Right. It's crazy how great these games have been between the Sharks and Ducks. Very competitive. Outside that one again in January, as you just mentioned. And again, another game where the Sharks dominate the shots. This time in the middle frame where I think the Ducks were...
It was like 16-3 or something.
Yeah, it was like 14-2. And I think they withhold the Ducks like to 13 minutes without a shot on goal. And they just come in waves. And even after Fowler made it 2-0, it just seemed like, okay, they're pushing hard, they're pushing hard. Then Logan gets that goal, and it's like they still got more in them. And sure enough, Timo gets the tying goal. And
I believe it was Timo time in Anaheim.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kudos to Randy Hahn on that one. After Timo's goal, I just had this confidence, like the Sharks got this. So I like where this confidence boost is coming from. Yes, would you like them to dominate wins? Of course you do. However, you take the wins whenever you can, and especially within your division where points are crucial in the playoff race.
Yeah, essentially, I mean, back-to-back comeback wins for Team Teal. Rocket, your thoughts on SoCal?
Everything that you've said about the Ducks and the Sharks being tight, toit, one-game contests. And I think you're right, AJ. I think it has been something like the past 100 games between the Ducks and the Sharks has been one goal, except for the last game. 100 games, at least, since the beginning of time. There were cavemen, and these two teams have been just fighting it out. Talk about parity. I was impressed with how well the Ducks looked. I remember that part. It's nice to see that, you know, Jakob Silverberg is still in one piece after Rafi Torres tried to murder him. This game, as far as the Sharks went, Logan's goal was great, but all of us kind of in the back of our minds, since we were already down, we're kind of like, this is probably just a teaser goal. That's okay, though. It was nice. And then when Timo came back with that second goal with only a minute to go, man, you want to talk about momentum lifter. Holy moly. Those guys probably could have gone outside and like thrown a Zamboni at somebody.
Oh, man. Timo scored with less than 60 seconds left. You saw like the three hairs on Getzlaff's head that he still had left just disappear, man. They were down.
He packed up and left.
Yes. So it was not too shabby. I mean, the Sharks pick up four out of a possible 6 points. Again, staying second in the division. But kids, it's going to be interesting coming up the essentially the Central Division gauntlet from here on out. It's going to be interesting to see how it works out. And so we will move into Shark Bites. The only thing I have, and I'll start with you, Rocket, is will we ever see Tim Heat again? I don't understand the infatuation. DeMelo, is he being like showcased? And if so, how long does it take to showcase somebody?
Well, you saw how long it took for them to get rid of Matt Nieto, right? I'm sorry, not get rid of, offload, rehome, something like that, whatever. Yeah, so there, it's going to take a hot minute, probably a little bit longer, definitely a little bit longer than any of us really wants. But, you know, Mr. DeMelo deserves a good home. He deserves, he's a serviceable sixth defenseman. So whoever needs to shore up their blue line, as long as it's not the LA Kings or the Vegas Knights, hey, whatever. May he find a happy home. But yeah, I think that we will see Tim Heat again. And I think that him not being on the roster is more of an indication that they're trying to shop DeMelo than they are in like saying, no, he's a cement piece on this roster and he's our guy.
Yeah. I mean, Puck guy, I'm willing to trade DeMelo to Edmonton for like a pair of autographed Connor McDavid skates. What do you think?
Yeah, he's had a rough go of it, especially going to the penalty box a number of times lately.
every single game.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's the rough part is that if you keep having that consistency, that's, as Randy Hahn would say, that's like icing on the power play, which is never good. But here's the problem is that even if you don't get anybody back for the current roster, say one of the six goes down, including Heed, are we bringing up Paul Martin back then to fill that void? I don't know. Unfortunately, the Barracuda doesn't have much depth anymore for this season in most of the positions except for goaltender. So it's, you're going to have to get a defenseman back if you're going to be moving D-Dems.
Diddums. I just call them diddums. The only other thing I got for Shark Bites, and this is totally random, but is it me or does it seem like every home game in February features a giveaway? Like Thursday night was ended up with a Captain America bobblehead, which I believe was that wasn't a straight up give, like door giveaway. That was like a special ticket giveaway, but it was essentially getting rid of the inventory that they had from the previous Pavelski Captain America bobblehead. Then Saturday versus Edmonton, what were you at this game? There was, yep, a giveaway for that. What was that?
Logan Couture augmented reality bobblehead.
Yes, and they also had mystery hats available. So Arizona coming up. Isn't there something for this one too?
I don't think there's something for the Desert Duck.
For some reason, I thought there was something. Oh, you know what I think it is? I think it's one of those packs. It's like pack night.
The yard sale.
No. That's Thursday. Tuesday, I think, is a, I think it's something along the lines for the Arizona game where it's like, you know, if you buy two tickets, you get either like two bottles of chum or you get to take your picture on the ice with the shark head.
The slap shot. I think it is.
Yeah, you get to take a, there you go. Take the slaps on the yard sale night versus Vancouver. Then the return of mystery pucks versus Dallas. So I'm interested to see what they give away for the Edmonton game at the end of the month. But anyway, I like it. It's kind of like going to baseball games. It's like something to pick up every game you go to.
Was this on the schedule? Like, is this something that had been promoted for several months, or is this sort of random out of the blue?
No, this is the Las Vegas thing was kind of, again, I think that was just to get rid of some inventory that they had on the Pavelski Captain America bobbleheads. The mystery hats that they did on Saturday was like not promoted whatsoever. With the only way it was promoted was at the Vegas game, and then like the next 2 days on social media. That was it. There was no big buildup for that. And we were also told at the beginning of this season that there would be three mystery puck games. Essentially, there would be, I believe it was, oh, which one was, I want to say like Hockey November. Yeah. Hockey Fights Cancer. And I believe that was November 16th and 18th. Then they did the Emoji Pucks versus Calgary in the end of December. And then they did the Warriors Mystery Pucks versus Arizona in the middle of January. So, and those were promoted at the very beginning of the season. And again, at the Las Vegas game, and I'm quite sure at the Edmonton game, and it'll happen versus Arizona and Vancouver, and it'll be on social media. But Dallas, all of a sudden, they're doing President's Day Mystery Pucks. And I got to say, these look really, really cool. One of them is essentially a picture of Mount Rushmore on the puck, but it's, you know, Jumbo and Burns and Pavelski and Couture as Mount Rushmore. I mean, that looks, and you can you imagine? See, now here's the play too. If only those four guys signed that particular puck, you know, like you can't get a Mount Rushmore puck that's autographed by anyone else but them. And I guarantee you're going to see people hover just like vultures around the table, say, who'd you get, because they're gonna want to get all four by all in, you know, four individual. I may be one of those buttheads trying to do that, by the way, but I mean, that's gonna be cool. And the Jones one looks, I mean, I'm actually really into this one. I wasn't excited about the Warriors one. This one I'm kind of up for. I'm getting a ticket for this one.
It, and to have the different looks of it, the same thing with the Shark Emojis. Those are really cool. For those who are huge mystery puck collectors, that just makes you want to buy more. One more thing to add on, AJ, mm-hmm. too. I believe those mystery hats had the Screaming Shark logo, and I believe that's the first time we've ever seen it on wearable merchandise.
Which is interesting, because I want to say it was versus Calgary. But I may be off base, but I'm pretty sure it was that there was actually a rep from the San Francisco Giants at that game. And they were already selling tickets for Sharks, you know, the Shark Night at AT&T Park coming up in September, next September. And the giveaway with that ticket, with those special tickets, is in fact a orange and white hockey jersey with the Screaming Shark logo. So, as long as they don't put the Screaming Shark logo dead center mass of a shark jersey, I'm okay with it. So we move on to the three stars of the week, or what we like to call...
Oh, good for you!
As always, we start with the punk who's filling in for the jerk. Eric, your third star for the week.
My third star... we'll go to Joe Pavelski, starting to get his scoring skills back into shape. He's figured out that he can't dish it off to Jumbo to get dish back for the tip. He's been making some moves. I mean, come on, that one against Anaheim in the shootout, that was Donskoy dirty dangle-ish. With that, so Pavs gets my number three star, and Pavs, keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
That's solid value with that pick. I mean, over this last three games, 6 points, four goals, and just absolutely owned Anaheim in the circle at 72%. So nice pick. And my third for the week, this might be a little off the board, but I'm going with Danny O'Regan. You know, this guy hasn't seen a lot of ice time and hasn't seen a lot of the NHL so far, obviously, but you know, one of the things that I really liked is, you know, he kind of screwed the pooch a few games back on a shift and ended up his boneheaded play ended up leading to a goal the other way. PDB threw him right back into the fire, and O'Regan went out there and made some great plays. Guy is, he, you know, for a little dude, he's bringing it, man. And just all hard. That's one of the things that I will respect more than anything is, you know, if you're one of those smaller guys, you got to do it bigger, harder, and faster than the, you know, than the big boys. And that's one of the things that I've always appreciated about those kind of players, whether it was Alexander Korayuk, Mark Smith, those smaller guys, their hearts are twice as big as the big guys, it seems like, most of the time. So, oh, Danny O, you're my third. Rocket.
My third star goes to a very fine fella, probably the okayest guy in the NHL. Talking about Aaron Della.
Hella Della.
Yeah, the guy's, I think that he's a great back goaltender so much to the point where, you know, that
I wouldn't say great. He's okay. Well,
he's the okayest, but I think he's great because whenever he has a game, I'm not even going to say a good game or a bad game, just a game, it always invariably comes up somewhere in social media or on television, goalie controversy standing. And every single time, when everybody knows there is no goalie controversy going on here, it's just we're very fortunate in that we have a great backup goaltender. Now, if they want to shop him out and, you know, send him along his way to maybe find him a new home somewhere as a starting goaltender, that's great, but that's not going to happen this season. So that's not even part of the conversation this year, and I don't think it should be.
You're pretty okay, Dale. We move on to our second star. And I'm going to, of course, it's second star, so I'm going to go with the guy who got his first and his second NHL goal, Yoki Ryan. You the man, Yoki. Keep your dad out of the rink. Rocket, your second.
My second star goes to my favorite quarter zip companion, AJ Strong. All right. Do I have to show my work or can I just play?
I mean, I'll take it. I don't need work. When it's about me, I don't need work. Eric, your second.
Oh, jeez. My second star goes to Timo Meier. He has just stepped up his game since he got onto the top line. With Pavs and at the time Jumbo, he just seems like he's fitting into that role very nicely and getting some timely goals. I think I don't know how many game tying goals he has, but I know he's got at least three off the top of my head this season. So Timo time is the right time when you need the game to be tied.
No, it's funny you bring that up because I would have swore that I saw somebody, I don't know if it was Uncle Darren or who it was that tweeted it out, but they tapped just on what you're talking about, that Timo is like tied with game-tying goals right now for like a couple of solid people for the Sharks. So I'll have to hunt that down and oh, maybe we'll add that to the next episode. Who knows? So we move on to the number one star for the week. And we, as always, we start with Rocket.
My number one star for the week is Mr. Logan Couture. He's just really hitting his stride this year, man. He's continues to be hard as nails, and just puts himself in great little positions when gets the shot in the back of the net when it counts. Logan Couture, number one sniper in Teal.
And Puck Guy.
Kind of feeding off of Rocket with that, because my number one star is Logan Couture. Definitely has picked up the pace. He had a little bit of a down spell for just a
scotch.
Thank you. And now he's turned it up along with Pavelski and Timo. Those guys are becoming the leaders of this team, if they aren't already. And trying to keep these guys afloat, you know, Well, yes, Jumbo's down, Wardo's down, you know, playing through some aggregating injuries. I mean, come on, how many times is, I think Logan Couture leads the league in how many pucks he can take to his mouth this season, my goodness. But just on that alone, and to stay in there and score and play hard, here's to you, Logan.
You know, I don't know whether you pronounce it scotch or Skosh. All I know is if a hockey player ever comes into the league that has that as their last name, I'm buying their goddamn jersey. I'm just saying it right
He's
now.
He's your guy by default.
This is what I'm saying. He will replace Holla. My number one star is Kevin LeBanc. The dude is quietly just getting it done. You're not seeing a whole lot of accolades for the guy, but the guy is third, or I'm sorry, not third. He's sixth on the list of point. I mean, Burns, of course, Couture, Pavelski, Thornton, Hurdle, of course, having a resilient season. But then LeBanc, ahead of Donskoy, ahead of Meyer, ahead of Bodker. I mean, dude is getting it done, and I don't think he's getting any accolades for it, which, you know what? That's good, man. Keep it under the wire. Be that kind of secret weapon. But, I mean, 31 points, but 24 assists. That's holy cannoli, dude. Just keep doing whatever it is you're doing. I mean, third on the team in assists. So, oh, LeBanc, you my numero uno, brother. And for that,
oh, good for you.
It is time where we, I don't want to say anything just too out of school, but this is the point when we do usually kind of, shall we say, whip it out. My horn, that is. I had to whip my horn out.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? Horn. Funny you should mention that, kids. Because at least I didn't have to pound on my power play drum.
Oh, my God. Somebody
oh, yes.
Us.
It's only going to get worse. So around the horn, the only thing I have. Somebody explain to me. I'll start with you, Rock. We saw just a few short games ago some douchebag named Dubinsky totally just take his stick, hook Dylan's leg, flip him over. If Dylan is not wearing a helmet, who knows what possibly could have happened to him. Dubinsky doesn't even get a call. I don't even think he got a major for that. Nothing happens. A couple days later, Burrows goes ham and gets 10 games. Okay, expected. Burrows is kind of known for being kind of a piece of crap. Yeah, I'm choosing my words carefully if you can't tell. And then Dustin Brown now gets a single game suspension for kneeing Lightning defenseman Mikhail Sergachev. For what is it with Brown and kneeing? We all know what he did with Hurdle, but the inconsistency. Is this still just a case of having a goon in charge of player safety now?
I don't know if that's as much. Okay, so it's a lot of questions, and I'm going to break this down for you. What is it with Brown and kneeing? Everybody has a hobby, okay?
Oh, hold on.
That is it with Brown and kneeing. That's his thing. That's what he likes to do. Rafi Torres was a headhunter. Yeah, he's just a knee shot artist. That's what he does. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say. Congratulations to him. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
See, Puck guy, I figured they gave Burrows 10 games, just, you know, like one for each finger. No? Too soon? Yeah. Too soon?
Should have gave him 12 then for the 10 fingers and the two knees. I mean, that was disgusting. I mean, it was so bad that the Department of Player Safety already requested an in-person hearing, not even by the end of the night on that. And I'm glad they took that stance. But the good thing, I guess, you could take out of the whole suspension for Dustin Brown, while it's just one game, ooh, that's really going to make him pay, is that now that's in the books. And so exactly, when he decides to be a cheap shot artist again, like he was in 2014 with Tomas Hertl, or 2012 with Michael Roosevelt in the Western Conference Finals against the Desert Dogs.
Oh.
It's now under their impression. I mean, this is the second time that he's had to face some sort of discipline from the Department of Player Safety. I would hope that if he does anything else again, you better throw the frickin' book, because how many times are you going to get away with stuff? And if it's just a $5,000 fine for cross-checking a guy's face into the boards, and kneeing an opponent where we know that he's got me two others in the past, and I think there's even more. The Department of Player Safety better get their act together quickly, because if not, people are going to be outraged.
Well, that, I mean, or they're just simply going to run out of darts. I mean, that dartboard is going to be pretty full by now, but give me a break with this. So let's get into what's coming up on the Shark schedule here. So between now and the next time we will talk to your lovely faces, the Sharks are going to play themselves three at home versus the Dogs, versus the Canucks, and versus the Dallas Stars. If I am I seeing this correctly, is this the no? Oh, that's right. I was gonna say this is not the first time we're playing Dallas, because no, the last time the Sharks played Dallas was an absolute stinker of a way to close out 2017.
It's probably what we'd none of us remember it.
Exactly. Yeah, that was oh, that was brutal. So, I'm just going to get into this. I mean, Coyotes essentially the worst team in the NHL. So if the Sharks don't win this, come on. I mean, this is one of those ones where, you know what? I think asking for a solid 60 minutes, not a lot to ask for versus Arizona. Do either of you guys have, I know we've played Arizona a few times. Do we have any idea what I didn't have a chance to look, what the series is at so far? I think we played them three times so far. Have we won all three games? And if we haven't, why the hell not? Because we had, I know we played them in November in Arizona. Then we played two because it was almost home and home, but somebody wedged LA on MLK Day in between there.
I think it's two wins and the loss, but I might be wrong.
Oh, that can't possibly be right.
They've won all three games. They beat them in like the day before Thanksgiving, and then the kind of
did Ryan just home say home. Like I said,
yeah, like I said, I might be wrong.
Oh, I thought you had said, oh yeah, it's three wins, just like I said.
Well, yeah, that too. But who's listening?
She totally called those early in the year,
right?
Right.
Episodes, dang it.
So, then I mean, Vancouver. I mean, they're playing better, but do they have? They don't have full squad right now, do they? Aren't they like missing a couple key pieces? I know they were the last time. Sorry, AM radio kicked in, so that was weird.
traffic and weather on the 8s?
I think that's what it was. I got the traffic. I couldn't find the weather. That was weird. You know what it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you want weather, listen to After Dark. If you want traffic, listen to Pucknologist.
Traffic moving smoothly on the South Rink as that Zamboni moves across.
Oh,
right.
Center ice.
Be careful for the ruts around turn number three.
Right? So versus Dallas, I would really, you know, I'm just going to say, I think the Sharks are going to win all three of these. And if they don't, they should have. Because if anything, I could almost see Arizona being a trap game, but I don't know. Maybe the Canucks is a trap game because they're going to be thinking about getting back at Dallas for the way that the new year or the way that the old year ended going into the new year. So I'm saying victories over all three. I'm not going to call scores because we get out of hand with that. So Rocket, how do you think the boys fare over the next three? Remember, all at home.
Right. So I think Canucks and Coyotes will be handled with a little bit more difficulty than expected, but hey, that's always how it goes. I think that they're just gonna eat it. They're gonna trip and fall over their shoelaces. They're gonna eat the wrong gummy bears and the wrong fruit snacks, and they're gonna lose to the Stars.
Ouch.
Sorry.
Pucka.
The Desert Dogs will be a victory. The game against Vancouver featuring John Shorthouse will of course be a loss for the Canucks, and the Dallas Stars will be falling. Back to you, Mr. Strong.
Oh, man. See, I dread going to that game simply for Mystery Pucks. I would have been, it didn't matter who they were going to play, but I'm simply going for the Mystery Pucks and the game. But it's going to be, there will be those like four Dallas fans there that scream Stars during the anthem, but that's okay because you suck. That's all.
And we'll have booing when they say Stars too.
Yeah, right. So, you know, nice quick one this go around. Only three games to talk about. Again, not a lot around the horn, not a lot for shark bites, but I have the feeling those segments might start to get kind of long as we get a little closer to the trade deadline.
to quote Mr. Kevin Bettman, we have a trade to announce.
Oh my yes. God.
Never do that again, or I'm never inviting you back in. So, final thoughts on where the people can find you on the social, Puck Guy.
Well, it is, to carry the tradition on, it is Monday night, February 12th, 2018 at 8 p.m. And well, Yannick Hansen is still not a Vancouver Canuck yet. But, of course, I appreciate coming on every time I get invited, and I hope I make Hockey Jerks picks successful. Nonetheless, you can follow me on the social, as some of the older kids would say, at PuckGuy14 on the Twitter and the Instagram. I still haven't figured out the Snapchat update yet, so bear with me. I co-host Teal Town After Dark and put out some wicked graphics to make the Sharks convinced that they need to hire me as their graphic designer. Back to you, Mr. Strong.
Yeah, the graphics are wicked pisses. with regards to Snapchat, dude, you don't have, like, you know, 14-year-old estrogen coursing through your veins, so it's okay if you don't get the Snapchat, because nobody else does either.
Whatever.
Rocket, final thoughts on where the people can find you on, shall we say, the sosh.
I think the shark scene is so good. It makes my skin really moisturized and firm because of how much stress it puts me under.
I like it when it's moist.
I just feel so dewy and rejuvenated, you know? The third line really does amazing things for my complexion. It's just fabulous. And I continue to use these products, and hopefully I'll get a Groupon for them someday. Man, this whole end of the season is always like when they light the fuse and you can just hear it go and everybody just starts running for it. So I know this is the lead up to the big kaboom at the end that'll start playoffs, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a little bit of anxiety, but I don't have huge expectations of kids. I just want them to go out there and play some hard hockey. And so far, you know, so good. And in the post-Thornton world, I'm not ashamed of this roster. My name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me complaining about things, mostly Sharks related, on Twitter. Capital R, capital B, little Eckhander 76. And if you'd like the artistic photographic representation of what goes on during my day, check me out on Instagram, Rocket Backhander. One word, AJ.
My final thought is I need to get my fat ass to a Safeway ASAP in order to get down on some San Jose Sharks branded Cookie Crunch ice cream. That's all I'm saying.
Come on up to my store in beautiful Pleasant Hill, California.
There is no way that they don't have that in San Jose. I don't care how many grocers I need to visit. So I am AJ _Strong on the Soch. And when I say Soch, I mean the Twitter, the Insta, and that's all. But I also do the Teal Town USA for Insta and Twitter. There you go. So holla. That's it. Episode 41 is in the books. So deal with that, kids. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, any other type of podcast platform. That is fantastic. Leave us a cool little review, little thumbs up. Hey, leave us hate mail. We take it all. We're just, you know, just we just love the interaction, man. Nobody loves us anymore. We get it. Oh, I'm sorry. Did my Dustin Brown there for a second. Follow us on Twitter at Pucknologist. Episode 41 in the books. We out of here. See you next week.
Ooh, line change.